Okay, you're safe. We will not transmit anything contagious over the Zoom. The topic I wanted to talk about tonight, halakhic considerations in medical risk-taking. I don't know how many of you read the Rav Twersky's Toward the Force of 2 weeks ago on Shomer Psalm Hashem and his follow-up essay from last week. We'll touch on some of what he discusses. I'd wanted to speak about this last week, Parshas Pinchas, before we ended up canceling this year. The tie into Parshas Pinchas is a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Beis that indicates that Pinchas had a din of a rodef towards Zimri, and Zimri would have had every halachic right to kill Pinchas. So what risk is a person allowed to take under such circumstances where Pinchas was putting his own life in danger in killing Zimri? But this week there's also a tie-in. Daf Yomi learned the second Daf Kaftes in Shabbos this week, which is another application of Shomer Psalm Hashem in the context of bloodletting on Erev Shabbos, which we'll get to as we go on. One of the major sugyas of Shomer Psalm Hashem, which is relevant for attempting to get a handle on the parameters when we do apply Shomer Psalm Hashem and when is a person allowed to potentially take what might constitute a minimal medical risk or perhaps a significant medical risk for some other counterbalancing considerations. So that's the sugya that appears in Yevamos Kibbeis Amud Beis, Ksuvos Lamedtes of Gimel Nashim Mishamshos B'moch, the sugya of permissible contraceptives. So the Gemara there, why is this happening? There we go. Okay. The Gemara there on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis in Yevamos has the following machlokes. The Gemara quotes a statement of Rabibi, Tanik Rabibi commits Nachman, Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'moch. There are three classes of women that are permitted to use a contraceptive, Ketana Muberes Umanika. We're concerned that if a young girl is going to become pregnant, that could be fatal. If a woman is pregnant, we're concerned that maybe she's going to have some other deformed vlad. And if she is nursing, maybe she'll become pregnant again. And before the age of formula, she wouldn't be able to nurse her baby, and the baby would die. Fine. So Gemara defines these Tanya Basiral Shana Yom Echad, Yabes Shana Yom Echad, Pachas Mikan Yasim Mikan, Mishameshis Kedarka Velechas. Devera Meir. Meir says that before that window of the year prior to Bas Mitzvah, a woman is Mishameshis Kedarka Velechas. And Chachamim say, Achazu Viachazu Mishameshis Kedarka Velechas, Minashamayim Yirachmu, Mishum Shanamar, Shomir Psaim Hashem. So there's a major machlokas we showed him here. More than two shittas in Rishonim, but for our purposes, we're not really learning the sugya. But Rashi understands that Gimel Nashim Mishamshes B'moch means that they're mutaros l'shamish B'moch. Rashi understands we're talking about a moch b'shav tashmish. So for any other woman, it would be usher to use a contraceptive under such circumstances. It's only these three classes of women who are permitted to. And then Chachamim that disagree with her mayor and say Shomer Psalm Hashem are saying that even for these classes of women where there's some potential sakana, they're still not permitted to use a contraceptive because we fall back on Shomer Psalm Hashem. And Rabbeinu Tam understands that we're talking about a moch la'achar tashmish, a moch b'shas tashmish is going to be us across the board for everyone. And a moch la'achar tashmish, according to Rabibi and Rameyer, these women must use it. And according to Chachamim, they need not use it. Again, because Shomer Psalm Hashem. So what emerges is that both according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but more strongly according to Rashi, according to the Chacham and the Rameyer, there's an isser of using a moch b'shas tashmish, even b'makom sakana, even for these three classes of women, which raises the question, why is that so? If it is a makom sakana, what right do you have to rely on what the Gemara terms Shomer Psalm Hashem? The Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch Evan Ezer Simin Peites. So he has difficulty understanding Rashi for that reason, and he points out there is a third sheet in Rishonim that deals with this, but that's not our focus tonight. But in understanding what emerges according to Sheetas Rashi, Just jumping in the middle here, he says, Lodami Lishlosh and Ushim Pesh Rashi, Rashi Paris Lassus Kane, the Lo Chayavos, the Shani Hassan, the Belav Hassi, Lishlosh and Ushim Anal, Eina Mizabras. Whoever has a background noise, if you don't mind muting yourself, sorry. The Lodami Lishlosh and Ushim, that these three women, according to Rashi, anyway, are unlikely to become pregnant. Rachmi Shundur Meir Chayesh the Miyuta, Akein, Einan, Chayavos, Kiyam Rak Mutaris. So we're talking about a very low risk of becoming pregnant to begin with. However, Meir, with Koshish to Miyuta, says that you should take some precaution. But even there, they're not Chayavos, Ella Mutaris. Only where there's more of a rove that. A rove of a situation where more women will become pregnant and there is a real sakana, so then you have to deal with that that sakana. So according to this analysis, and Rav Shechter points out that the other Achonim who, in slightly different ways, have the same analysis, that if you're allowed to tap into Shamar Sam Hashem, in situations where the medical risk or the actual concern is minimal. In the formulation of Samuel Sethic, it sounds like even if it's less than a rove, in other achronim, they talk about niyasheni matzei. So Reb Chaim Moser, for example, Achiezer, Chelek Aleph, Simon Kaf Gimel, says that the reason that Chachamim say you can latch onto Shomer Sam Hashem is because it's unlikely that someone will become pregnant in these circumstances anyway, and the sakana situation is a niyasheni matzei. So Meir Lishitasa, who would call it Torah Kula, Choshesh Lemiyot, he's going to be concerned, and that's where Gimel Nashim Hasham Choshesh B'moch. So according to Rashi, they are allowed to. But according to Chachamim, because that's a Miyot Sheinu Matzei that doesn't concern us, they are Asuras to, and we say Shomer B'sam Hashem. Rav Shechter, in the old, over 30-year-old RJJ article about family planning that was written up from Rav Shechter Shirim, so he points out this is a little similar, this approach, to that which appears in the Pe'er Hador, the five-volume biography of the Chazon Ish, which you have in the Marmor Kamas if you want to take a look at it. In volume three, there is a representation that the Chazon Ish was asked about during the Second World War in Eretz Yisrael, where there were air raid sirens, and people would need to potentially turn out the lights, etc., and take precautions during the air raid siren, even though the actual concern was minimal because it was unlikely that there was really going to be an air raid going on over there. So the Chazon Ish has the Mahalach. He distinguishes between Isurei D'oraisa and Shabbos and Isurei D'rabbanan and Shabbos, that if it's really a chashash rachok, then we're not really concerned about pikuach nefesh in that situation. And so it could be that you wouldn't be able to violate their rices. And the Chazon Ish has something similar in Chazon Ish and Taurus, Olo Simon Kafbeis, Oslamibes, Kafbeis, Oslamibes. Here the Chazon Ish addresses the discussion in Achronim that we've discussed in this forum in the past, in Od Bihuda and the Chazon Sofer, about the question as to whether autopsies are ever permitted, and if there is a situation where an autopsy could provide a medical information that could be helpful to save others. So there, in the analysis of the Noda B'Yuda, there's a distinction between Chola Lefaneinu and Chola Eino Lefaneinu. Is there a sick person who is currently sick that is potentially going to be saved by this autopsy, in which case it's permissible, as opposed to, theoretically, you may be able to glean some information that could be helpful down the road, but there's no Chola Lefaneinu there. So the Chazon Ish, in analyzing that position of the Noda B'Yuda, says that we don't really consider a future event as a safe pikuach nefesh. That if there's no pikuach nefesh situation now, the fact that there may be a safe pikuach nefesh in the future, ainu nebekin basidus is lashon. And sometimes you think that you're saving someone now, but you know, there's nothing lefaneinu. So that's not considered a pikuach nefesh situation. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, in the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, footnote 2, quotes or references a essay of Rav Unterman, the former chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, in his Shevi Mihuda Chelek Aleph, Shar Harishon Perek Yotes. And he writes that Shlomo Zalman endorses this analysis as well. In Rabbi Tursky's article, he quotes Rav Neuberg, and Shmir Shabbos is saying this, but it's really Rav Neuberg quoting Rav Unterman. It's not Rav Neuberg's own language. He points out over there that there is one of the other instances that the Gemara has of Shomer B'Sam Hashem is a Gemara in Yevamos Ayin Beis that discusses performing a bris milah on certain days with certain weather. There was an understanding that if it's a cloudy day, then that's somehow medically dangerous to perform a bris milah on that day. But if you did so, that's okay because Shomer B'Sam Hashem. So the Ritva there has a comment that mandala bai lenimhel biyomad iva rishis biyado, that if someone does not want to perform a bris milah on such a day, even though the Gemara gives you license to do so because of Shomer B'Sam Hashem, you have the right to refrain. The Shapir Avish shall lismach al Shomer B'Sam Hashem, and he has the right to not rely on Shomer B'Sam Hashem. Tumas Hadeshen has a similar discussion in Siman Reishit Aleph, in the context of a Katlanis, that in a situation where we're not bothered by the Isser Katlanis, which we also discussed in this forum in the past, do you have the right to be machmer on yourself, to refrain from marrying such a woman, even though Al Pidin you're allowed to, and we would say Shomer B'Sam Hashem. So that's the comment that Ritva quotes over here, that you can be machmer, so to speak, and not perform a bismillah, and not rely on Shomer B'Sam Hashem. And then he quotes from the Marshal, who quotes this, and he says, no, how could you say that? We don't know anyway what's considered to be a cloudy day, where we don't know what's what. So how can you say? The Gemara says you can do it. We don't really understand the signs. We don't understand the mitzvahs I was talking about anyway. So who are you to say that you're going to be machmir not to do bismillah on a cloudy day? So says Rav Unterman, based on this Ritva and the comment of the Yamsha Shlomo, that what emerges in terms of parameters of Shomer B'Sam Hashem is that anything that the normal way of the world is to act on without being concerned of a medical risk, then you have the right to rely on Shomer B'Sam Hashem. And his language, which Shmir Shabbos quotes or paraphrases, is Kimasha Katsra Yada Adam Ladas Ulizar Mimenu Kadosh Baruch Hu Shomer Lav. The principle of Shomer B'Sam Hashem, at least in some of the applications, is that where we lack knowledge to know whether something is indeed dangerous or not, and we have no reason to believe that something is dangerous necessarily, then Hashem is going to protect us. There are plenty of things that are potentially dangerous. We just don't always know what they are, and we don't even know how to take proper precautions. And he understands that's also part of Mishamshes B'moch, that which is normal, and you don't necessarily consider the fact that there's a sakana involved, so then you have license to proceed as normal based on Shomer B'Sam Hashem. And that's the same point by Bris Mila on a cloudy day, that since Lashon HaGemara Dasha Bei Rabim, that everyone, or elsewhere, that everyone doesn't take such a precaution because we don't really know what's what anyway necessarily. So then you have the right to rely on Shomer B'Sam Hashem. And Shlomo Zalman has a similar analysis in the first edition of Mincha Shlomo, Chelik Beis, Siman Kaftes. He writes, Rabbi Tversky mentions this in his article as well, but Shmir Shabbos was Messiah, Shlomo Zalman agreeing to what we quoted from Rav Unterman before. This is an extension. Le'inyan ikar adavar manik rasafik pikuach nefesh umalo v'yad efu ho'gvul. Where do you draw the line? Gamanochi ba'ani istapakti tuva b'set. Not so clear. Ale shebitzad asfara nirli niestaiti. The kol shederuch obenei adam levroch mizeh. So anything that most people would avoid because they view it as a sakana, if it's not something that people really view as dangerous, a sakana. So his example is that let's say there's a vaccine that's developed, and it's medically warranted that children should take the vaccine. But no one really is concerned that if you're going to wait until a Sunday to take the vaccine, that that's going to have any medical effect on the child. You know, the vaccine is available. If you get a vaccine on Friday or Shabbos or Sunday, it's not going to make a difference in the big picture. So then you wouldn't say that you could be Mechal Shabbos to give the vaccine on Shabbos. But if the only opportunity you'll ever have to administer the vaccine is on Shabbos, and otherwise you're going to have to wait another 4 or 5 years to get a vaccine, so then you'd be allowed to do it on Shabbos, because in that situation, people would be concerned that there's going to be a sakana, potential pikuach nefesh, if you're not going to administer the vaccine at that point. Okay. Rabbi Chanan, Kovitz Shirim Ksubas Simon Kuf Lamed Vav, has a slightly different take or direction on the Shomer P'sam Hashem context of Gimel Nashim Hasham Shis B'moch. So he is bothered by the same problem that we started with. What license do you have if there's a sakana? So how could the Chachamim say that you're still not allowed to be Mishamish B'moch, according to Rashi and Shomer P'sam Hashem, but Safik Pikuch Nefesh? So B'chanan says that it's dafka in that context, we don't expect people to conduct themselves in a unnatural fashion. If you're going to tell someone that you can never engage in Tashmish, so then that's unreasonable. So that's a situation where we view it as if the person is incapable of protecting himself from that potential sakana. And then we say that Shemayim is going to help him out. But in a situation where a person does have the ability to take proper precautions and protect himself from a dangerous situation, and he decides not to, so then you don't say Shomer B'sam Hashem. Then you say that he's not a pesi, he's much worse. And he's mischai b'nafsho. He's taking his life into his own hands, and no one's going to help him. Shemayim's not going to help him because he has the ability to protect himself, and he chooses not to do so. So presumably, Rukhan is talking about a situation where the sakana level is present but minimal, as if, as you wouldn't say that if there's a very strong chashas sakana, that even in that situation, you could be mishameshes without a moch, without thinking twice, because of shomer b'sam hashem. But where you have the more minimal kind of sakana of gilul nashim mishameshes moch, and there you don't have to be moneya for mina derech eretz, as is lashon, and then we would invoke shomer b'sam hashem. The Rav Tversky in his analysis points out that general hagdara, that where you're acting normally and Dushabe Rabin, people are perform their normal activities, so that you can invoke Shomer B'sam Hashem in such a context. So that emerges a little bit from Rashi in Shabbos Kuf Kaftes. So there again, the Gemara is talking about that there are certain days that are it's ill-advised to let blood on those days. The Gemara says that even though on Erev Shabbos, we should have said that's one of the days that you shouldn't be letting blood, but Kevin D'Dashe Be'Rabim, Shomer B'Sam Hashem. So what does that mean, Kevin D'Dashe Be'Rabim? What's the context there that since everyone does it anyway, we say Shomer B'Sam Hashem? The Rashi there writes, that everyone did it because of the dochik, because of the need to. So you krovin through the Shabbos. Rashi references the Gemara Avodah Zarah that there are certain patterns after which, if you're going to eat fish, you shouldn't let blood, you shouldn't do bloodletting within that number of days, 2 days after eating fish. So in the context of our Gemara in Shabbos, people eat fish on Shabbos, and if you're going to insist that they aren't allowed to let blood on Erev Shabbos, that's going to impact on their ability to fish on Shabbos. So then came to Dushan Bei Rabim, Hergulubam and Edochim, because of the need to have that through the Shabbos, and the Dochim Parnassah, they have to fish. So then we invoke Shomer Psayim, Shomer Psayim Hashem. So where there's a dochek, a tzorech, or some kind of chisar and yedi, as we saw from the sugya of meal on a cloudy day, those are instances in which Shamir Psalm Hashem comes up. So Rabbi Tursky points out, as well as the Sefer I just picked up this week, Rabbi Kleinman, who wrote all the Shmuel Kamenetsky Sfarim and editing the Rav Henkin Chuvas, Big Day Chamudos, all on Inyane Corona, 350 pages. Picked it up or looked at it for the first time today. I didn't see too much yet. I just wanted to see what he spoke about on these topics. Don't necessarily agree with everything, but it's an impressive volume to come out in this short amount of time. But he quotes these Marmar Kamos also, that the way Rabbi Tversky frames it is that within the context of Shamir B'Shem Hashem, when are you allowed to take certain minimal risks or certain risks in order to engage in normal activity? So he thinks that falls into the categories of physical health, mental health, and parnasa. So if there are things that are necessary to do for the sake of your physical and mental health, so then there's certain risks that might be allowed b'torah Shamir B'Shem Hashem, and for parnasa as well. So for parnasa as well, that's he points out, the Rabbi Kleinman points out, the famous Tshuva the Nodeh B'Huda, which is quoted in Piskei Tshuva, Nodeh B'Huda Tinyana Yardeya Simen Yud, about the permissibility of hunting. So he deals both with the issue of Tsar Bali Chaim, but also deals with the issue of danger, that you're putting yourself into a situation of sakana if you're going hunting, and that is not permitted Bistam. However, he says, if you're doing so for parnasa, so then where the risks are within the range of reasonable, it would be permitted to do so if that is for your parnasa. And Ramosha in a tshuva chosha mishpah chelak aleph simen kuftalid has a similar brief comment regarding making a living off playing ball. I'm not sure exactly what the context was and who the shovel was, but the shaila is presented is a mutter lisparnes mimiska kakadurim sheesh bezeh chashash sakana rochotuva. I guess if it's football, it's more sakana. If it's basketball, it's less sakana. So nishalti miechad a mutter lisparnes mimiska zrikas kadurim shenikra ball balaz. Because there's a potential of sakana, that one in every few thousand people that plays ball is going to get killed. So he points out the Gemara in Bavin Siyah Kufu Beis, Veilav Nose Nasho. The Gemara there seems to indicate that even in a situation where there's a chashash rachok of sakana, you're allowed to take upon yourself that chashash rachok for purposes of parnasa. So as long as you're not putting anyone else in danger, you're not potentially killing anyone else, then you can take certain minimal risks in the context of profession. And he says that then they showed him this Tshuvas Nodeh B'Huda, and he was happy to see that his analysis is essentially what the Nodeh B'Huda had said earlier. So then, if that is the Hagdara, one other, so Rabbi Tversky assumes in his analysis that the broad categories where, under certain circumstances, if there is a minimal sakana, you can, or maybe a little bit more than a minimal sakana, you can engage in such activities for purposes of mental health, physical health, and parnasa. He assumes that, and this is, he assumes that's not true for mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs have a different calculation. Mrs. Lovely Hanus Nitnu. So we have no objective tzarech other than the Ratzon of Hashem to engage in mitzvahs. It's not for our own benefit per se. It's not for a physical benefit. We could discuss whether it's for our psychological benefit. But if the only reason we do mitzvahs is because that's the Ratzon of Hashem, so you have no right to put yourself in more sakana the sake of a mitzvah, because mitzvah lovely hanus ninu, and it doesn't benefit you in the standard ways that other physical needs benefit you, which fits into his earlier printed pieces that the reticence of participating in any minyanim. I did see that Rabbi Kleiman points out in Siman Beis, the Pesach Shuvah closest in Yerodea to Ferris Yisrael, that you have to figure out the exact application, but the Pesach Shuvah in Siman Kuf Nun Zayin Yerodea Sukkot and Gimel quotes a closer to Ferris Yisrael on the Mishnah beginning of Brachos. The Ferris Yisrael on the Mishnah in the first parak of Brachos, the Mishnah quotes the Machlokas B'Sham B'Silel B'Shach B'Chov Kumecha, and her Tarfon was knowing like Bishamai to lean during Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, the Sakanti Ba'atmi Menei Alistim, Amrlo Kedai HaYisalacha Ba'atmecha Shabbat Al-Dibri B'Silel, that you deserve to have been compromised because you violated the din you filed based on Abishamai. Says it to Paris Israel that in a situation where there's no Vade Sakana and it's not Shkia Chazeka, mitzvah be'inna the asik ba'agunei magni, that you're allowed to take certain risks if they're minimal risk, if it's not a Vade Sakana Nashkia Chazeka, in order to perform a mitzvah. Now, again, in our current situation, it probably is Shkia Chazeka. But the theory is that even if it's a vadai, no vadai sakana and no Shkia Chazeka, you can do a mitzvah, even if there's some risk. And Raya for the Gemara in Erevin Kafalif, the Maaser Rebbe Kiva, was Bebeis HaSurim, and he put his life in danger in order to wash in Tilas Yadayim. So that's this comment of the Tiferes Yisrael. You have to figure out where that fits into the equation. That maybe even for purposes of a mitzvah, if it's a minimal risk, lo shkia chazeka, not vade sakana, not shkia chazeka, that would be mutter. So, you know, the bulk of the legwork here is figuring out where do you draw the line, and what so Rabbi Twersky's argument is, okay, we understand that there's certain mental health needs, certain emotional well-being needs, that a person can't stay cooped up forever, and they have to have some social interaction. So that doesn't mean that you have to send your kid to a sleepaway camp with 300 other kids. You could have more minimal social interaction. You have to have a chasana, but you don't have to have. You can have a socially distant chasana with minimal guest list, and you don't have to do things in a way that that is more dangerous. You just have to figure out where you draw those lines. Now there is a shuvah of Eliyashiv. Rabbi Twersky quotes for a different reason, but you get the impression from something that he points out over there that the level of tzorech in order to invoke Shamar Sam Hashem where that's relevant may actually be pretty minimal. One of the examples the Gemara has of Shamar Sam Hashem, the Gemara of Avodazar Daf Laman of Beis. That's the sugya of giloy, that you can have mayim megulim, that we're worried that if you have wine or water that's exposed, a snake may deposit venom, and you may get killed after you drink the wine. So that's why you can have yayin megulim, you can have mayim megulim, fine. But the Gemara there distinguishes between yayin and mayim that can't be left megula, and certain fruits, like an oven v'teinim, that you can leave overnight, even though it's possible that a snake could inject his venom into the anovim and the teinim as well. And the Gemara says, Shomer Sam Hashem. So, Rav Eliyashiv, in the context of whether you can be makbid on secondhand smoke, and can you force someone to stop smoking if it bothers other smokers? So he writes that, Mikavin de Eila Noshim or Gilam is that Roam Beishin Sorech Asher Kemadi Yafshel Am Liskayim Lo Ishin. So the smokers think that there's a real need for smoke. This tshuva was written way after Moshe's early tshuvas about smoking in the 50s. That was where there was a different conception of the danger of smoking. Rav Yosh is writing here in 1980, but so still he says people think that there's they really need to smoke. Logara eslami had amru that gemara b'rozara ochal adam anavim teinim b'lay levena choshesh mishishdamer shemar sam hashem pshuto kamashmo. You don't have to worry about eating the grapes. It's one thing to say the comment of Rebbe Chanan that you can't expect someone never to engage in Derech Eretz. Who would be so worse, bad off if you're not allowed to eat, if you could ever eat grapes? Big deal. Nevertheless, if it's Sarah Kaldu, if someone wants to eat grapes, there's no restriction on eating grapes because of Sharma Sam Hashem. So there you get the impression that maybe the threshold of the Tzorech in order to invoke Shomer Sam Hashem may be minimal. Rabbi Willig, in a brief recently printed tshuva or paragraph, invokes the Rishon Zaman that we mentioned earlier in terms of Shomer Sam Hashem, where people conduct themselves in a way, or the concern being whether do people view something as a sakana or not view something as a sakana. So in the context of davening and shul, so he points out that if you take the necessary precautions, outside or inside, with proper social distancing and masks, etc., the medical risk is arguably very, very minimal. And traditionally, we've always gone to shul, even where there are potential risks. In the last year, we've all taken on security guards because there's some concern of sakana, and yet we didn't stop going to shul. Rabbi Willig says every year there's the flu around, that we don't stop going to shul because flu. So as long as it was the proper thing to do for many months not to go to shul when things Rachman and Islam were a lot worse, now that things are Baruch Hashem moving in the right direction, and we hope to keep it moving in the right direction, then it's a reasonable risk to take with the proper precautions if the medical community thinks that that is a minimal risk. And that potentially would fall into the gather of Shomer Psalm Hashem. There was an exchange a few months ago. Someone in Brooklyn had written some kuntris called Biwer Halacha, arguing that no one had the right to shut any shuls. And even if... it was written in Rosh Chodesh Iyar, at which point we knew a lot more than we did a month before that. So it's surprising that the facts that he writes are totally off, aside from the halachic arguments that seem odd. And there's a response to that called the Ma'aneh Libir Halacha. It begins saying that Choveris Bir Halacha, it wasn't Bivar anything, it wasn't Halacha. One of the things he quotes is that the argument was made that shuls don't have a responsibility to protect anyone, because just like there's no chiyuv makkah in a shul, so the shul isn't responsible for an nishmar tovah l'nashos sekum. It's only an individual obligation and not a communal obligation. So you don't have to put a makkah, and so you don't have to worry if people get infected in shul because there's no such responsibility on the tzibur. So the respondent to the Ma'aneh L'Bir Halacha says, the mechaber is a chasidisha. So he says, okay, but you daven in a shtibo. And we know that Shuvah Sachronim, Hikvas Amin Chasitzkak, is also Chalkas Yaakov, that Shtibel is called a Shtibel because it doesn't have a din of a shul. That's why you're allowed to eat Shal Shudas in a Shtibel, it doesn't have all the regular rules and regulations of Beis Knesses. So Lishitaskla, you want to say that shul doesn't have a responsibility of a Nishmar Tumel and Hashem Sechem, but a Shtibel should, because it's not a shul. Okay. But bottom line, it seems that the question of application, Shem HaSem Hashem, is to some extent a matter of degree. There is a certain cost-benefit analysis, and the principle is that there's certain low-grade risks that you have the right to take where Dasha Be'Rabim, where everyone conducts themselves as such and doesn't view there as being a significant sakana. So that all has to be analyzed on a case-by-case basis, depending on the particulars. I think next week is going to be our last shiur for the season until the end of the summer.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shkach.